Thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
Lies to me, and I am looking everywhere for Zechariah, and I cannot find Zechariah. So in the meantime, I'm trying to get something else going while I'm trying to figure out where Zechariah is. And it was just one of those things that just got muffled and more confusing than anything else. So the spiritual meaning behind that is nothing. Absolutely nothing. I can't think of anything behind that, except maybe it's a warning that I better know where I'm going in my Bible, something like that. Well, anyway, before we get going, just to mention a couple things that are important to me and important to us as a church. And that is anyone that is new to the congregation or maybe coming in and trying to familiarize themselves with who we are. And that really involves a search that you're going through maybe for your own life and trying to discover some things and purpose and plan that God has for you. We want to facilitate that to the best of our ability for you to come to the place where God wants you to be. So we have things like Taste of Faith. So that's kind of a beginning. And that's an opportunity to just have an informal dinner. There's really no agenda. We have a dinner for you. It's going to be set up out here in a real nice way on a Wednesday evening. It's going to be served to you at the table. We'll have several table hosts. I will be there. Cheryl will be there. And we're just going to share with you some things about our life. And it's a very short time, 6:30 to 7:45. Child care is provided while you come. So that's important that you do that. And did you see the holiday schedule flyer that you had? And most of you should have got it in the mail. We sent out 100,000 of them. So maybe we did hit you. I don't know. But they went over the different zip codes and just lays out the holiday schedule beginning this Wednesday evening. And we're going to have Thanksgiving time together, which will involve communion. And we do it in the style where you come and you are served at the different stations, and we take time to worship, share some thoughts on Thanksgiving. And we've always seen that as a good time for us all to stop before we get into the busyness of the schedule of that next day and then the rest of the holiday and just say, thank you, Lord, for all your blessings upon us in this great country. So come on out Wednesday night. It'll be a good time. Then you could go back to your turkey preparation and frying turkeys and everything else that you want to do. All right, we're going to continue with our series on the subject of momentum. This board over here is just slips of paper of people who have committed to being with us and doing various things during this campaign of spiritual growth. The rest of the church is involved in it. The youth department is talking about momentum. Our children are talking about momentum. The small groups are talking about momentum. The Bible study adult groups are talking about momentum. And we're just trying to look at this subject and its value to us when you think about it. It's a physics term. It has everything to do with something moving forward, but not just movement or motion, but it's what is moving forward and what is it that influences that mass or that object to move forward. And that is important, what influences that mass, because you could be influenced to move to the left or to the right or to forward. And then there are some things that can hinder you from moving forward. Well, all of those things we're looking at, we've been addressing them. This is actually our fifth message on it. And we're using Bible characters as examples. We use Joseph. And you look at the life of Joseph and you say, wow, Joseph went through a lot. But when you look at his life, he kept moving forward. I mean, in spite of all his circumstances and challenges, he kept moving forward. It's an amazing story. But how do we keep moving forward in spite of all our circumstances? In spite of disappointments, discouragement, loss of job, loss of lives of loved ones, separation in a marriage relationship after so many years and you're devastated by it, how do you keep moving forward in the purposes of God in your relationship with the Lord? How many of you say that's a good question? Well, Joseph gives us that answer, so that message addressed that. We talked about the Apostle Paul and how through the changes in his life and the choices that he made in his life, those choices affected how he moved forward and what direction he moved forward in. All of these things are helpful, hopefully helpful to us. I am stirred in it because I believe that when God brings this type of word, subject, where he gets us to focus in on something, it's because he has a reason for it in the future. Now, I don't know what that is for you, but I'm praying for breakthroughs for your life. I'm praying for new things to begin to happen, not just for the sake of being new, but new and fresh and invigorating and visionary to you, and that you can get a hold of the things that God wants you to get a hold of. That's what Paul said. Paul said, listen, I'm going after for a better understanding of why God saved me. That's basically what he said. What he saved me for. Oh, I'm thankful for my salvation. I'm thankful for my deliverance from sin and the shame and the guilt of it. I'm thankful for the eternal life that God has promised me. But you know, there's a distance between the time that I was saved and then entering into the glory with the Lord. What am I going to do in the meantime? That's important to the Lord. And not only important to the Lord, but without looking at it a selfish way, yes, I'm blessed in that path and that pathway, that in that journey. But guess what? The kingdom of God moves forward. It advances. God wants his kingdom to advance. He wants us to be involved in that kingdom work, not so wrapped up in our worlds, not so wrapped up in, well, okay, that's okay, but what about me? I think we have to get kind of move out of that attitude. And what about God? What about his kingdom? Because if we get the pieces in the right places, when we pursue that kingdom, God's purposes, me is taken care of. It really is when we move along like that. So that's what momentum is all about. So what we're going to talk about today is we're going to talk about the financial piece. Now, the financial piece to this whole subject of momentum. What is this piece that, and why we're dealing with this financial piece is because here's what we see. More than anything else, the thing that slows people down, the thing that puts people in more bondage than anything else, is not having the financial peace in place. There are more people in damage. You look at our world today. What is the biggest issue globally today? Finances. Now, you might say terrorism and all that. That's happened at the same time. But there are countries that are absolutely collapsing. There are families that are losing things. The biggest issue is this economic thing, finances. So the financial piece, you cannot ignore it when you come to your Christian walk. You like to say those things are not to be talked about in the church. That's a lie. Man, if we can't talk about them here, if we can't get a biblical answer to the financial piece, then this book doesn't provide everything I need to live. I think we're limiting. So that financial piece is important to us, and we want to the best of our ability lay out for you what we believe is the proper way to align ourselves with God when it comes to our finances. And we want to talk about the character we're going to use is Abraham. Abraham is our example today, and I'm going to share with Pastor Scott today, and we have someone that's going to come and join us. We're going to introduce him in just a moment, and we just want to share very candidly. We want to share openly, informally, but we need to talk about this piece because I know what it's done for me in my life. I know by getting a hold of some of these basic truths as what God says about how I should handle my finances, what is the proper way of looking at the finances that I have, that I've gained momentum. I got momentum, I've gained momentum, I sustained momentum. When this piece is in place, it's a lot easier to move down the road. It's a lot easier to see things begin to happen in your life. So in Hebrews chapter 11, it is the chapter that talks about the subject of faith. And it gives us examples how both men and women from the past have lived by faith and the advantage they had by living by faith. And then it also instructs us through looking at these examples how we can live by faith. So, Abraham is mentioned in here. He's mentioned in verse 8. Let me read a few verses about Abraham. By faith, say by faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he, Abraham, waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Jump over to verse 17. By faith, say by faith. By faith. It's going to take faith. Anything that you do in this subject of momentum, it's going to take faith, stepping out, trusting God. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. Concluding, that is, Abraham concluding, that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received in him a figurative sense. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. So it went from Abraham to Isaac and then to Jacob, but it was all by faith. Now, I just took a portion of this great book that mentions the life of Abraham, and just in this little portion, you can see that Abraham had momentum. I mean, he started to move out at the instruction of the Lord by faith, and he moved out, man, not just to go nowhere, but into a direction that God had called him, into the promises of God. Now, during that journey, God was teaching him faith. God was teaching him how to live by faith, knowing the value of living by faith. But ultimately, what was happening here is that Abraham was learning to trust his God. We must learn how to trust our God. That is a part of faith. A little bit. That is a part of it. Trust him that if he instructs us to do it a certain way, then we can trust him that he's going to work it out. We might not understand it. You see, trusting is not always understanding. Trusting is doing it. Faith is doing it without seeing it. Trust is doing it without even understanding it. But what I do understand is God. I understand that God is big enough to take care of my needs. So when it comes to financial peace in your life, the things that we learn from Abraham is that he was a trusting individual in God. He had to be. Now, along with that trust, he so trusts that he began to take on what was the nature or character of God, which was that of giving. Abraham was a giver. That was a mark of his life, as you will see here in just a moment. And as a result of trusting, as a result of giving, do you know what the net result was for Abraham? He was blessed. Every time he stepped out and he trusted and believed God and did it God's way and gave God's way, he was blessed as a result of it. Blessings follow when you're obedient to the things of God and to the Word of God. Now, this whole subject of giving and of trusting comes back to the very fact, when I talk about giving, here's what I'm talking about. Before we even get to the giving to the church or to the tithing to the church, which is going to be mentioned by Pastor Scott in a moment, there is something in the very makeup of every one of us that God has created. There's a piece of it, you could say it's part of our DNA, that's the way I describe it, that it's only fulfilled when you give. There's a part of it. Why? Because God is a giver. God is a giver. And if God is a giver and we are to take on the nature, be conformed to the image of Christ, his nature, then part of that conformity is that we become givers. You give, number one, to God. You give to God. You give him your first. You give him your life. You give, your possessions belong to him. You're not the owner. You realize you just give to him. Abraham realized that he gave to God. You give to others. That's what God did. You give to others. You see the needs of others. You meet the needs of others. You're looking outside of your own world. You look inside. So the giving to God part involves really A and B. It's giving to him, but it also involves, as we give to him, we're giving to the advancement of his kingdom on earth, to the purposes of God on earth. That's where the tithing and the giving comes in. How does something like this operate without everybody participating in it? How do we really do missions without everybody participating in it? How do we minister to youth without everybody participating in it? There should be no attitude in the body of Christ, oh, someone else can do that, someone the more blessed than I am attitude. No, everyone, it's not equal giving, it's equal sacrifice. Did you get that? Not equal giving, but it's equal sacrifice. And we just see this as something, well, maybe that doesn't pertain to me, or that's something I really can't do right now. Well, that's why momentum is not there at that particular moment. So, part of our DNA, it goes all the way back, and I'm going to mention some of it in just a little while, but I'm going to ask Pastor Scott to come, and he's going to share a thought, and then we're going to move on from there. Scott.
Good morning, everybody. I'm a little shorter than Pastor George, so adjust here. Have you ever noticed after some of the biggest temptations you go through in life are just after a big victory? Whether it be a big breakthrough in your life or something happens, some of your biggest temptations happen right immediately after that. It can be hard to keep momentum, as we're talking about, after a big victory. This happens in sports all the time. We just saw our man Tebow the other night. You watched him beat the Jets, who all the prognosticators said that, you know, that they'd have no chance to win in this. And we had a big comeback win. And how many were happy for that? Some of the Jets fans aren't happy, but we'll pray for you. But the point is they had a big win. It's easy to have a letdown, especially when you're not supposed to win. And what we're talking about in the area of finances, I learned about this as well in Bible college. They taught us about to be prepared for PMS. You know what that is? Post-ministry syndrome. Happens every Monday to pastors and leaders in church. You have a victory in church. There's breakthroughs. You've given yourself to preaching and teaching emotionally, spiritually, laying it on the line. And then whew, Monday comes around. It's like, whoa, you know, that's when the enemy comes to attack. And that's when he brings some of his biggest temptations is on the weekend, the Monday after a big weekend. But Abraham, our character for today, he was just coming off a very, very big victory. He had rescued Lot and Lot's people and all of Lot's goods from war. He went to war, and they routed their enemies. And I'm going to read from Genesis 14. I'm going to pick it up in verse 17 and read about what happened after this huge victory that Abraham experienced. And he had a new battle that he was about to undergo. There was not going to be a battle that was with, you know, weapons, literal war, but there was going to be an internal battle that he was about to face. And it says, after Abram returned from defeating, you pronounce that word, Chedorlaomer, and the kings allied with him, the king of Sodom came out to meet him in the valley of Sheveh, that is the king's valley. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was a priest of God Most High, and he blessed Abram, saying, "Blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and praise be to God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand." Then Abram gave a tenth of everything to Melchizedek. The king of Sodom said to Abram, "Give me the people and the goods for yourself. Keep the goods for yourself." But Abram said to the king of Sodom, "With raised hand, I have sworn an oath to the Lord, God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, that I will accept nothing belonging to you, not even a thread or the strap of a sandal, so that you will never be able to say, 'I made Abram rich.' I will accept nothing but what my men have eaten and the share that belongs to the men who went with me." So he left one battle and entered a new one. He had just defeated his enemies, and he meets two kings along the way. And both of these kings, Melchizedek and the king of Sodom, both were asking for Abram's allegiance. That's the battle that we fight every day. There are two kingdoms that are asking for our allegiance every day: Jesus Christ and his kingdom, and the kingdom of this world. And when we talk about world, when you hear someone teaching about that, the world, the people of the world are not our enemy. It's the world system. It's the world way, the world's way of thinking and doing life. The world's way is me first. It's selfishness. It's all about me. Where God's kingdom, Christ's kingdom, is completely different. So he meets these two kings. They ask for his allegiance. Well, who's the first king? The king of Salem, Melchizedek. This is important to understand this. And two things. The king of Salem. Salem means peace. Jerusalem, that's where you get that, the city of peace. So he's the king of peace, Melchizedek. And literally the word Melchizedek, his name, means king of righteousness. So Abram meets the king of peace and the king of righteousness first. And that's a type of Christ. As Pastor George was reading from the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 7 talks a lot more about Melchizedek and how he was a type and shadow of Jesus and being the priest of the Lord. And that's a whole other theological trail we could go down, but we don't have time for that this morning. But look what happened. It says that he gave gifts of bread and wine to Abram. Before Abram did anything, he gave him gifts. And he said a blessing. He gave him a blessing. So he gave him gifts and he gave him a blessing. Abram gave him a tithe. The word tithe means 10%. It means 10 literally in Hebrew. But he gave him a tithe in response to his gifts and blessing. Guys, that is the heart of tithing. That is the heart of all giving. It comes as a response to say, God, you're the giver of every good gift. Every good and perfect gift comes from you. And God, you have given me every blessing under heaven in your Son and what you've done for me. And so it is a response back to God. That is the heart of tithing, and we have to get that. It's more than duty. It is obedience, but obedience that flows out of a heart of gratefulness. We're coming up on Thanksgiving this week. And the heart of Thanksgiving is to just say thank you to God, to take time for all that he's done for us, all the blessings that are in our lives. And I know some of you today, you're going through difficulties financially, relationally, all kinds of ways. You think, man, I don't feel blessed right now. Listen, if you stop and start focusing on all the good things that are in your life and the things that are to come in the life to come, because if you haven't figured it out, this isn't heaven. And in this life, we're going to have struggles. We're going to have trials. But in the life to come, they won't be that way. There won't be no sin or sorrow or struggles in heaven. So we have so much to be thankful for. Abram meets the second king, the king of Sodom. And Sodom was a wicked city. When you read scripture, you read that Sodom was a very wicked place. Literally, the word Sodom means burning. That's what Sodom means. So he met the king of burning, if you will, and the king of peace and righteousness. And the king of Sodom tells Abram, he tries to make a deal with him. He bargains with him and he says, I want the people back. The people that we had captive, Lot's people, I want them back. You keep the goods for yourself. Man, what a type of Satan. What a type of the devil and his kingdom and his philosophy. The devil will tell us over and over, keep the goods for yourself. Because he's really after the hearts of people. He controls people through the heart when he has their hearts. But here's the beauty of it. Abram rejects his offer. He rejects his offer and he responds by saying, I will never accept your offer. I will not accept your way. You will never be able to say, I made Abram rich. That's a powerful verse of scripture for us to hold on to. So he leaves that battle, the new battle, and he enters into a new blessing. Abram aligned himself with the Lord. He aligned himself with the right king. And our challenge to you and our hope for all of us as a church and as God's people is wherever you're at in your life, however long you've been walking with Christ, or if you're trying to figure this thing out, align yourself with the King of Kings, with the King of Peace, the King of Righteousness. Abram lived by the blessing of the Lord, not by the bribery of the world. The world is trying to bribe us into its way of thinking. And again, I already told you, the world is not the people of this world, it's the system of this world. And as the world bargains for our allegiance every day, we need to stand up and say, no, I will never let the world say it made me rich or made me happy. It's God. All the blessings that make us truly joyful come from God. The world makes promises it can't keep all the time. The world tells us to buy now, pay later. We know the trouble that that gets us in. Debt, credit, all the things that happen over and over again in our lives to have everything now instead of learning God's principles and doing things God's way. We're always looking for the new. If we get the new house, new car, even get new carpet put in your house. I mean, knowing you had old carpet that was stained and it looked like the Brady Bunch lived there. We had that carpet in our basement recently, had it ripped out, put some new carpet in. And boy, do we freak out if anyone brings anything to drink down there. Or, you know, heaven forbid, some crackers or let the dog go down there because it's new carpet and we want to keep it as new for as long as possible. But here's the deal. Everything is going to wear out eventually. Anything you get that's new, it's eventually not going to be new anymore. And if you align with the king of Sodom, and Abraham understood this, everything you have will eventually burn up. Everything, your 401k, it's all going to burn up at some point in time. And it could be changed overnight in the economy and the world that we're living in. But you know what is not going to burn up? The treasures that you put in heaven. Jesus said in Matthew 6, store your treasures in heaven where moth and rust cannot ever take it away. It's stored up for you in heaven. So align with the right king and you'll have a true treasure that lasts forever. So I want to invite Heath Carty to come up. Would you give Heath a warm welcome this morning?
With a little while back, I forget when it was, but I did get a letter from Heath just sharing his heart with me about something that had taken place in his life. But I tell you, it just really ministered to me because I could relate to it. I could relate to his response to the Word of God and how that started something in him. And then when it came to this Momentum series, I thought, man, this is what Momentum is all about, what's taking place in his life. So Heath, thank you for agreeing to be with us.
Sure. I commend you guys for speaking on finances and on giving. I mean, this is a topic that's been huge for me. And actually, the first sermon I ever heard when I came to faith was on this topic. And it's totally changed my life. So thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome. Well, you're probably just sitting out there, just like all these folks are sitting out there, and you came to church, maybe, I don't know what you were expecting to hear that particular day, but you heard something that started you on a journey that has brought you to where you are today, and I would say made a significant difference in your life. Tell us a little bit about
that. Let me give a little bit of background to that, too. And I'll try to, I spoke last night, and my son said I talked too fast, and I'm from New Jersey, so I'll try to slow it down a little bit. I had grown up in a Christian home. I had been taught tithing from a young age, and I've been pretty faithful my whole life and through college and my career. In March of 2001, I left my career in finance to purchase a company here in Colorado with another partner. And so we bought that in March 2001, had a large business loan on that. And through bad decisions, business events, it was not given the cash flow that my partner and I needed to live off of, out of that. And after about 2 years, I had, you know, we had been struggling on the finance side. I was about 2 months behind on my mortgage. I was behind on all my car payments, credit cards. I'd borrowed some money from my parents to put into the business. So filing for bankruptcy with the business was not an option. We had liens on the house, and my parents had loaned money to it, so that wasn't an option. I had stopped tithing at that point. I had stopped giving. I had stopped tithing. I just felt like, you know, God, I know it's good, but you know, I've got to deal with this right now, and I've got kind of more important things to do with that. And I was going to a small church up in Westminster at the time, and we attended Faith on a Wednesday night, March 9th, 2003, just to kind of check it out. And you know, walked into Faith. The first message I ever heard in Faith was on finances and on giving. It was by Kurt Chanda, who was a missionary back and talking about giving. And how important that was. And I really felt convicted by the message on Wednesday night. It wasn't like it was a new truth, but it was really, I really felt that conviction about obedience and about trust. And then Thursday I was at work and I got a call from my wonderful wife, and she was in tears. She had been at the grocery store up on Sheridan, and she had tried to check out with the groceries. All four of the credit cards that she had in her purse had been declined. She was in tears. She had the kids with her. She saw a friend on the way out of the grocery store to make it worse. And she called me up and she's like, you know, this is killing me. And the next day I was in my car Friday. I basically broke down in my car praying to God. I said, look, you know, I've been trying to do this myself. I've been thinking I could do this. I haven't been putting you first. I haven't been doing what's right. And I was reminded of that message on giving from Wednesday night. So that was Friday. Went to church here on Sunday, and I had about $300 to my name at that point, which was about my tithe for the month. It was also money I kind of thought I would pay my car insurance with. But I really felt like God was speaking to me about obedience, about this tithing issue. And so I gave that money on Sunday, March 13th, 2009. And then Monday morning, 10 a.m., and I, you know, we had been doing this company for about 2 years. And Monday morning, 10 a.m., I get this phone call from a guy I'd never met. I didn't even know people like him existed. I didn't know this whole industry existed that he was with. He had found my name on the internet, he said, somewhere. He called me up and he said, hey, you know, I've got some inventory that's basically one-tenth the cost of what our company was using. He said, do you want it? And I was just dumbstruck at that point. And that, it wasn't like at that moment every problem was solved and bags of money fell out of the sky or something, but that, after 2 years of our company going down and down, that was the one, that one 10 a.m. phone call that Monday morning after I tithed was when everything turned around. And from that one phone call from that guy, we have completely changed our business. And the company has actually grown more than tenfold since that time. We've been able to buy other companies. And just, you know, even some of our non-Christian employees at the company recognize kind of the hand of God.
Sure.
You know, it was about releasing that, obedience and that lordship to God. So,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Heath, I would like to ask you a question that maybe would affect all of us in the sense of, prior to, you know, you being raised in the church, learning about tithing, you know, you've told me you had a decent job when you lived on the East Coast over there, to going down in your finances, and so you were tithing when it was comfortable, and then it was not comfortable. Tell us how that really changed you and your wife and your family's approach to understanding God for provision.
You know, I think that we had tithed when it was easy, and then, but it wasn't like I was giving the credit to God, and I was giving it to God. I do struggle with pride, and I think only by God letting me fail on my own and letting me become a total failure and then giving it to Him could He be glorified through anything else that happens. And I thank God, not that it was pleasant, but I thank God for going through that valley, because without that, if things are going well now, I'm going to think, well, yeah, you know, I tithe, but, you know, I'm a pretty smart guy and whatever. All that's taken away when God takes us down through the valley. And then all of a sudden, everything came from Him. I mean, I can pinpoint exactly how it happened and where it started, and there's no denying where that came from. So,
mm-hmm. Is that not true for all of us, that tests and trials always precede blessing? Mm-hmm. And when the test comes into our life, and we put God first, we do what He says to do, we obey. It's this lordship issue where He's the Lord of everything. Some people have great character, they have good morals, but then this area can be out of whack in their life. And when that's out of whack, it seems to, you know, you've even said damn up some of the blessings and things that have been in your life.
I think the interesting thing here is, Keith, you still had the talents the talents. You had to, obviously had a talent to do business and a gifting in that area. So you had the same talents before and the same talents after. But there's something about when you have that financial peace out of God is the owner of this thing, God is Lord over this thing, and I have to keep that in my heart. Not only am I giving him first, which is called the tithe, but the whole revelation of that makes a difference and brings a kind of an anointing on the talents and the gifts, the change. And I think that's what you saw happen in your...
Well, that's exactly it. And I think for me, you know, I still was going to church. I was still volunteering at church and praying. But, you know, you talk about the time, the talents, the treasure. I mean, for me, it was that treasure issue. And I'm not espousing a health and wealth kind of gospel here. For me, that was the issue where I was not submitting and I was not giving it to God. And that's what he was speaking to me on. And then once God took me down there and I finally gave that to him and obeyed, then everything and everything else has been better too, relationships and peace and just more fullness of the Holy Spirit. It's all come after that.
Yeah, and that's what Abraham was learning. He had to, even as God was blessing him, God kept pursuing to teach Abraham, put him first and trust him first. How about the example of Isaac? We look at the example of Isaac. Here, Abraham was a blessed man. Abraham already knew how to tithe. He did all of that. But then when it came down to Isaac, his only son, he calls him his only begotten son, God, after he raised him a certain age, then God required him, go and sacrifice him. Wow, can you imagine that kind of challenge? So what was happening in all that? So he takes Isaac, he goes to the mountain to sacrifice him, and before he does that, the angel of the Lord stops him. And what were the words? The word was, now I know what's really in your heart. See, it was the act of offering a sacrifice. I know, well, did God know Isaac before? But we change along the way. As we get blessings, as we get into our businesses and take control of it, we forget that God has the ownership. God was reminding him again. And what did he see then after the angel stopped him? Saw a ram in the thicket. And what did he call that place? The Lord will provide. Jehovah will provide. And this is a principle for all of us, is that we have to keep in front and work at. If we're going to have that continual momentum, that God, you are number one. Let me tell you what is happening, even with Christians and Christians in our congregation. When the economy tightens up, when things get rough on the outside, we begin to pull back in and take a little bit more control of it, because we think, oh, well, if I do that, I don't know if I'll have my job. I don't know how long I will be out of a job. So I'll pull back. God will understand from my tithing and giving to him. And then later on, when I get back on my feet, I'll give. Wrong. This is that whole series, in God we will trust. Who do we trust? God. And that peace gets out of whack, and we pull back from it. And I guess what we're saying today is that, are you willing, am I willing to say, God, forgive me. I've got this peace out.
Heath, I would imagine a lot of folks out in the audience today, people know that one of the biggest struggles in marriages is when the finances are out of whack or difficulties. And how has the steps of faith that you've taken over these years, and that one real turning point for you, if you will, a momentum maker in your life, you look back to, how did that affect you? And what advice would you give couples and folks out in the audience today about putting God first in your finances?
You know, I think because finances are such a big issue with marriages, I mean, they certainly were for me. It put a lot of strain on our marriage. It was a very hard time for us. I mean, it's hard to, you know, when you go to the grocery store and you can't buy groceries and you're in tears, it's not a very romantic time.
Kind of kill the mood.
You know, I think it goes back to putting first things first. And I think that's why, for me, it was the tithe. I mean, that that first 10%, I was pulling in, like you're talking about, Pastor George, as far as times were hard. We didn't have enough money. I was pulling in, okay, I'm just going to pay this or that, or what little money I didn't have. And I think when you put God first, I know when I did, everything else fell in line. And the marriage, the business, it all came in line after I put God first, but I wasn't putting God first. And that is what I had to do first, even above that marriage. I mean, I had to put God first, and then everything else has come after that.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks, Heath. We appreciate you taking time and coming up here and talk to us. Let's thank Heath for taking a moment. Not quite that high, Scott. But anyway, okay, let's bring this thing home. We wanted Heath to come up because sometimes, you know, I don't know what it is. I think the enemy works overtime to say, well, when the pastor talks about it, that's his job to talk about it because he has to keep things going. But you have to understand our hearts. Our hearts, that's not our motivation for teaching and getting finances in order. Our motivation is right here. It is in the Word of God. And then this translates to, once we get this in our heart, translate for a smoother life. We do not believe that if you just give, you're going to instantly going to get delivered and tomorrow morning you're going to win the lotto, right? And you say, well, why not? Well, if it happens, don't forget us. And I have no problem taking 10% of 100 million. I think you understand what we're saying. It's a biblical truth. It is part of who we are, and that is part of our relationship with the Lord. It goes back to Adam and Eve. From the time Adam and Eve sinned and then went out of the garden, we pick up through the story of Cain and Abel how it was already a practice. Get this. It was already a practice for them to come before the Lord and give their offerings. It was already a practice. They gave the first of their herds. That was what? Because you remember, he was upset. God said, I'm displeased with yours, but Abel's I accept, because he gave the first of the flocks. It was harder. And then, so that travels all the way down. Abraham has this in him that even, now notice I'm saying all these are before the Mount Sinai and the Ten Commandments. Before it talks about tithing and giving, all of this was already happening inside because God had instilled it when he created Adam and Eve. That was already there. Folks, we can't bypass that and expect to live healthy, fulfilled, abundant lives. We're hurting ourselves. We are really hurting ourselves. Some of you are in a situation now, say, man, how can I start giving when I got all these bills? Well, you have to start somewhere. You have to start somewhere. And we want you today to take this challenge in the area of momentum is to pray a prayer. And here's how we're going to end. We're going to pray. See, this has to click. You could teach it, but then you have to say, God, by faith, I receive that. It's like everything else. By faith, I hear about Jesus Christ. I receive it by faith. I believe that you are my Savior. Boom, I'm born again. See, it's faith that then all of a sudden, by faith, Lord, I believe that word, and by faith, I'm going to take a step in that direction. Boom, becomes a revelation to my heart. Tithing is a principle of the Bible. Tithing gives us a guideline of 10% of what we have. Well, what did they give in the Old Testament? They brought their flocks. They brought their crops. They brought all these things to the Lord. What is our economy built on today? Our finances, our money. So it's our checks. We go out and buy a possession. You can take shirts and give those away to other people. But yet, before we even buy the shirts, it should start with our finances that we get in our check. 10% really belongs to the Lord. It's clear. That's a guideline. You could argue the 10%. I even think it goes more than that, offering and tithe. Are you going to start? One out of five people in this audience tithe. So if there's five people in your row, one tithes, the other four don't. Which one is in that row over there? Young man, you're tithing. The rest aren't. They're looking at each other like, is it you? Is it you? That's a stark reality. That needs to move. Why does it need to move? To get momentum in your life, and guess what? Momentum for the kingdom of God. Would you stand with me, please? I certainly don't want to go longer on this subject than what I feel God's grace and anointing would allow us to go. But I want to go long enough for you to allow the Holy Spirit. And I want you to kind of get yourself situated. Don't be distracted too much. This is a moment when I want to pray. This is a moment when we want the Holy Spirit to come and make these things real in our heart and seal them in our heart.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.